Turn with me, if you would, now to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, page 1171 in my Bible. Zechariah, chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "And he showed me Joshua." And the name Joshua in the Old Testament is the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. He showed me Jesus. He showed me Jesus Christ. He showed me the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest. He showed me Joshua, the high priest. I'm going to try to do my best today to not preach to you. I'm going to try my best to not preach to you today. I know that's my calling. I understand that. But my goal for this morning is to just talk to you. I don't have any control over whether or not I reach you in your mind and in your heart. That's all of the Lord. Only the Spirit of the Lord can reach a person. But that's my desire today. That is sincerely my desire. If the Spirit of God would be willing, I pray that He might reach me. I am asking Him to reach me. And I pray that He might reach you this morning. I pray today is the day that He reaches us in a way that would cause us to truly understand what God has written in His Word. All of it. All of the Word. So, let me be candidly honest for just a minute, okay? A man who will preach the truth, all right? A man who will actually preach the truth in a house of worship that actually worships the truth of God's Word is hard to find. Very hard to find. The actual gospel of God preached very simply, very clearly, the actual gospel that saves people, the one that actually saves people, is hard to find. I understand that that may be odd. That may sound odd. What do you mean? There are places everywhere. People are in churches all over this nation and all over this world listening to messages that do not actually save people. That's the truth. People are in churches right now listening to messages that do not actually save people. People talk about getting saved and being saved who are not actually saved. That is the common situation for the world of religion. Religion is in a bad situation. People think they are saved, but they are not saved. And the reason that's the case is because men and women are listening to and they are believing and they are confessing before God a lie on Him. the message of mainstream religion, the religion that you can find most anywhere, the broad way, as our Lord worded it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That's what Jesus Christ said, Joshua. But the message of mainstream religion is a lie. It declares a God who is not really God. It declares sin as not really being sin. It declares the salvation that Christ accomplished as not really being salvation. It puts salvation in man's hands rather than in God's hands. And it gives the glory to the decision and the deeds of man rather than the will and the purpose and the work of Christ alone. And that's a lying message. That is a false message of lies. And no one will be saved under a false message of lies. The reason I just want to talk candidly with you is because quite often men and women do go to a true house of the Lord. We're not the only one. There are other places that preach God's truth. Thank God. And quite often, when men and women do go into a true house of the Lord, where the Spirit of God actually is, and the truth of the word is actually being taught, quite often men and women don't really hear it. Often men and women will go into one of those places. And, they'll go in thinking one church building is as good as another. We might as well go here. And they sit and listen to religious things being said, but they don't really hear it. You know, they know that the guy standing up there clearly has a Bible open and he's saying things that sound like godly things and churchy things and doctrinal things, but they don't really hear what's being said from God's Word, the truth of God's Word. When the truth is preached, man's total deadness in the flesh is preached. They don't necessarily hear that, but that's what happens. When the truth is preached, man's total deadness in the flesh is preached. Can't do anything, can't be anything other than dead, meaning before God. I know we're all alive before each other, but before God. Can't make a decision, he's dead. You know, you'll hear people say, well, why don't you make your decision? God says we're dead, and we can't. Can't turn over a new leaf, he's dead. Can't dedicate, can't rededicate his life, he's dead. Can't believe on Christ. Well, don't you think you ought to believe on Christ? Man can't believe on Christ, not in his self, not in his flesh. He's dead. He can't even come to Christ. Well, aren't you going to come to Christ? No, not unless God lays hold of me and drags me to him. I'm dead. You say, Gabe, why in the world would you say that? It's because that's the truth of God's word. And you being dead in your sin, you hath he quickened who were dead in sins. Dead. Where the truth of God's word is preached, the absolute deadness of man is preached. And therefore, God's choice in salvation is preached. God tells us in his word that he did all the choosing in salvation. He said, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you, John 15. What do you mean by that? What does that mean? That means God chose the actual people that he wanted to save. Without any influence from them, without any decision from them, without any doing from them, because they were dead. Where the truth is declared, God's will and God's choice and God's purpose in salvation is declared. This is the Lord's doing. This is all the Lord's doing. God did this, start to finish. God gets the glory for this. When and where the truth is declared, the success of Christ is declared. And I'm still trying hard to not preach to you. I'm still trying to just talk to you. So let me just say that again. Where the truth is declared, the success of Christ is declared. I pray that we might see this today. I pray this might reach us today. Do you notice that in mainstream religion, the whole focus of it is trying to get people saved? Have you ever noticed that? Doesn't that make total sense for mainstream religion? In mainstream religion, the whole focus of it is trying to get people saved. That's the whole focus of it, trying to get people saved. What are we doing here? We're trying to get people saved. People talk about trying to win souls. They want to be soul winners. They get that from Proverbs 11, verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. That's Joshua. He showed me Joshua, the high priest. That's Christ. Christ is our wisdom. He that wins souls is wise. That's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Do you know what the truth of God's word declares? It declares that all the souls that are going to be won have already been won. That's what it says. Where the truth is preached, the focus of it is not to get men saved. The focus of it is to glorify Christ for the salvation he already accomplished. That's, even to me, preaching it, that's a light bulb thing. Turn the light on to this thing. To believe that I am instrumental in the saving of men and women's souls is for me to believe a lie. He by himself purged our sins and sat down on the throne of glory. And it's to steal the glory away from Christ. That's what it is. The man who believes he is a soul winner does not know God, does not know the accomplishment of God, and does not know God's word. You know what the truth of God's word says? It says, it is finished. What is finished? The winning of every soul that the Father hand-selected to save. Christ won all of those souls in the bloodshed and death of his cross. When he bowed his head and gave up his ghost, crying, Father, it's finished. What that means is, and what happened right there is, he saved his people from their sins. All the chosen souls that the Father said, here, these are ours, save them. Christ did it. And it's done. And the truth of the gospel is an announcement of that. Through that announcement, the Spirit quickens, gives life, opens the ear, reaches people, and calls them to Christ and calls them to this knowledge. To say that we're going to go out and now win souls, what that means is we're saying Christ didn't do it. We have to go do it for him. And that's a lie. That's a lie. Christ did it. It's a lie on God. That is what you call a false religion. That is a false religion. Christ died for the souls that the Father chose. And Christ saved the souls that the Father chose. Christ only died for the souls that the Father chose. And Christ only saved the souls that the Father chose. Christ was only successful. None of his blood was wasted. Well, he died for that sinner, but that sinner wouldn't come to him, so that sinner went to hell. That's a lie. In John 17, he said, I've lost none of them. None of them are lost. Christ was only successful in his accomplishment. And the truth of the gospel is a declaration of that. It is a declaration of Christ, the successful Savior of his people. The gospel of God does not try to get men and women to do anything. We're commanded to go and tell how great things Christ hath done for us. We're not commissioned to go around trying to get people saved. I really want to make that clear. We're not commissioned to go around trying to get people saved. We're commissioned to declare he hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We are commanded to declare that, and God said, every soul that the Father chose and Christ saved, the Spirit will call to believe it. Every soul that the Father did not choose and Christ did not say will hear it and say, buddy, I don't believe that. You're crazy. I don't believe it. I won't listen to that. Every soul that the Father chose and Christ saved, God will say, come to me. Come to your sovereign. Come to your Savior. And every sinner will say, yes, sir. Lord Jesus, I come. Every soul that the Father chose and Christ saved, the Spirit will call. The Spirit will give faith and will call to believe that we are not saved by our works. We're saved by the will and the purpose. We are saved by the doing and the dying. We are saved by the mercy and the grace. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Christ alone. Christ alone. Christ alone. False religion tells people that salvation and the evidence of salvation is in what we do, what you see us do. That is a lie. Salvation is in what Christ did. Salvation is in the blood that he shed, the blood that he brought into the Holy of Holies, to make intercession to God for the sin of his people. Salvation is in how effectual that atonement offering was. That means just how full that payment was. It was made in full, paid in full. Salvation is in the fact that by one offering of his own blood, he perfected forever them that are, not will be, are sanctified. That means holy, perfect, pure. How? In the flesh? No, in Christ. In the blood of Christ, in the righteousness of Christ, in the sanctification of Christ. The gospel is not a call to action. We don't get up here and say, all right, it's time for you to now get up out of that pew and you come on right down here and you pray what I tell you to pray and you shake whoever's hand I tell you to shake. And you get into water and you do this and you do that. The gospel is not a call to action. The gospel is a declaration of the finished work of Christ. Salvation is in what Christ has already done. I don't know if you noticed, but I've said that once or twice. I'm trying to reach us. Begging the Spirit of God to reach us. The evidence of salvation is in the Spirit of God quickening a believer, giving that sinner faith to believe on Christ, to stop looking right here and to turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, He showed me Joshua. I thought religion was right here. I kept looking right here. But finally, God, through His Spirit, by His Word, showed me Joshua, my high priest. To see Christ is to see what Christ has done. It's to look to what Christ has done. It's to hope in what Christ has done. It's to trust in what Christ has done. The evidence of salvation is when a sinner casts his or her all on the finished, accomplished, successful intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing the appeasement, seeing the satisfaction, that's seeing salvation. That's what it is. That's what Zechariah 3 verse 1 is talking about. It says, And he showed me Joshua, the high priest. He showed me Jesus Christ, my great high priest. Until God reveals Christ to a sinner, that sinner will believe that he is his own high priest. And I just read that right there. Okay, let me just talk to you for a minute. Everybody thinks they have to intercede for themselves to God. Everybody thinks they have to appease God if God's going to accept them. Naturally, in the flesh, we're all born into this world believing we have to be a high priest for ourselves. But when God reveals Christ to a sinner, the sinner sees and believes, Christ is my high priest to God. He will believe that Christ is the advocate, the only advocate that a sinner has before God. We are not high priests before God. We're dead before God. The only hope we have is if Christ will be a high priest for us. We need Christ to intercede for us. What glory comes to a sinner when he sees that or she sees that? I won't be long. Verse 1. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, O, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's what God's people are. They are a brand plucked out of the fire. Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Why was Christ, our high priest, clothed with filthy garments? It's because he was wearing the sin-stained garments of all of his people. Like that Bible study you heard last Sunday morning from Brother Aaron on our Lord washing his disciples' feet. You remember that? They were made clean through him being made filthy. Their filth was transferred to him. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Christ stood before the judgment. Christ bore all the filthy sin of his people. He suffered the judgment of God on the cross of Calvary. His suffering was so satisfactory. It was so complete. Verse 4 says, He answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. The Father said, Glorify him. Honor him for what he's done. Verse 5. And I said, Let them set a fair miter upon his head. I said, Not unto us, O Lord, unto thy name give all the glory. You did all the work. You get all the honor. I said, Let them set a fair miter upon his head. So they set a fair miter upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua. And that doesn't mean he went against. That means He declared. He intensely testified. He admonished. He earnestly charged. The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." The Father said to Christ, "If you will obey me, and if you will earn righteousness for our people, I will accept them in you." That's what he said. If you will do it, if you will put away their sin, you establish their righteousness, I'll accept them in you. Verse 8, "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest," that's Christ, "thou and thy fellows that sit before thee," that's the people of Christ, "they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch," that's Christ. I thought you said Joshua was Christ. He is Christ. Joshua is Christ. The branch is Christ. Christ is all. Verse 9, "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua," that stone is Christ, "upon one stone shall be seven eyes." Seven is the number of completion. What he's saying is all eyes are going to be on Christ. "Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." Hebrews 10 says, I had our brother read it for our scripture reading. It says, "Men on this earth who only pictured Christ by being called to the position of priests." They pictured Christ. There's no more need for priests. Christ came. They were a picture of the Christ that would come, our high priest. It says, "They daily offered sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, and their sacrifices of bulls and goats never took away one sin. But this man right here," this is what it is to see Joshua the high priest, "and he showed me Joshua. This man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." Why? It was finished. The sacrifice for sin was finished. The sacrifice for sin is finished. He said, "By Christ, my righteous servant, my branch, my stone, my provided high priest for my people," he said, "I will remove their iniquity in one day." What a day that was. Therefore, what a day that will be. Verse 10, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree," the place of rest. He said, because of Christ, there is rest. 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 Now, let me talk to you one more time, and then I'll be done. I can't tell you how many times I have heard from people some form of this, okay? I don't like going to church. What do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Well, I don't like going to church. And it's because I can't live up to what they tell me I'm supposed to do and supposed to be. And I can't live up to the standard of all those other people who go to church. They're all holy roller, better than me. And they make me feel like they look down on me. And I need to do better if I'm going to live up to their standards. And I just can't do it. Okay, well listen. I wouldn't want to go to that church either. That sounds like a bunch of hypocrites to me. In the place where Joshua is revealed, not just religion, not just the law, not just self-righteous works, in the place where Jesus Christ is revealed, the message goes from do to done. It goes from you're not good enough yet to you are complete in Him. Yes, we are all sinners in the flesh. We are. But Christ came to save sinners. You just rest in that. When Joshua is revealed, there's rest. There is rest. When men and women finally see Christ, their high priest, the one who made the offering and made the atonement and satisfied God on behalf of their sin, there's rest. He said, "You come to me, I'll give you rest. Don't go to the law. Don't go to yourself. Don't go to anybody." He said, "You come to me, I'll give you rest." Oh, what rest comes to a soul when that soul can say, "And he showed me Joshua." Holy Spirit of God, please reveal Christ to us. That's my prayer for us. Lord, please reveal Christ to us. I'll close with this. Go to Hebrews 4. I'll end with this. We just have to read this. Hebrews 4, verse 9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." I love that. That means you rest as hard as you can. "Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." What is unbelief? Christ didn't finish the work, and I need to go to work. Verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." What's our profession? Christ did it all. Verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh, may God reveal Christ, our great high priest, to us. And in that, may he give us rest. I pray every soul here will be able to say, "He showed me Jesus Christ." My great